This is Deanna Spingola. It is Friday, June 15th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Dr. Ed Kendrick. His website is rediscover911.com, which explores the connections between the Zionists, the Israeli Mossad, and 9/11. He is a grassroots activist and has been active in the 9/11 truth movement, although there might be some people in that movement who would like to have him stop mentioning Israel. You may email him at wholetooth. Ah, that's cute. I've noticed that before, but saying it out loud, whole tooth, in other words, W-H-O-L, the numeral T, or two, T-H, at gmail.com. And he is a dentist, so I just noticed that clever use of the numeral two in your email.
Yeah, unfortunately, when I was signing up for a Gmail email address, T-O-O-T-H was taken, so I used W-H-O-L-E-2-T-H.
That worked. Very cute. Very nice.
Yeah, please write me if you wish after listening, and I look forward to sharing with any activists the materials that we're talking about. I'd like to be known as a repository of information.
Great, and I think you've got a good start at doing that. Now, you were talking in a recent email to me about the people who are basically trying to prevent the truth from coming out. And you were talking about the bamboozling Christian Zionist. And Christian Zionism is a very, very old movement. It started in 1809 in London. And you have indicated that you believe that one of the largest organizations that promote this kind of mentality is WorldNet Daily. So why don't you tell us why you think that?
Well, my encounters with WorldNet Daily as a subscriber are every day. I get at least two or three emails, many of them promoting saleable materials. WorldNet Daily puts itself forth as a Christian Zionist website, mainly Christian. The Zionism part is understated, but it comes through loud and clear that WorldNet Daily is an advocate for Israel and presently is working to get us to bomb Iran. WorldNet Daily is one of the most deceptive, but obviously so for those of us that have seen the underlying plan of Zionists and the radical Jews. It's one of the most obvious of the deceiving, we'll call it controlled opposition websites that would like to be known as alternative media, alternative to the mass media, but they're nothing of the sort. They're just another wolf in sheep's clothing. WorldNet Daily is led by a man named Joseph Farah, and his wife also is an owner of WorldNet Daily. The materials that they provide are cultivating the Armageddon resurrection types of thinking of Christians, and WorldNet Daily would be quite content for Christians to just sit back and go to their retirement through the rapture, allowing all of the devious things to occur by Israel and the deceptions. They would like the Christians to just sit back and just accept that prophecy is coming about. And this is your reward.
Exactly. I am a subscriber, too, and have been for some time. And I subscribe to a lot of things that you wouldn't expect, but I do it so that I can know what the other side is doing. And you've suggested some of them, like Tablet, which I'm a subscriber at. I also subscribe to, what is it, ADL. I just subscribed to that just in the last couple of days. The ADL blog, or Access or something like that, where they talk about the anti-Semites who are putting forth all of this anti-Israeli stuff. And so, you know, it pays to know what the other side is doing and what they're saying, and so that you can counter it.
I think more than just being aware of it, one of my approaches also has been to participate in their blogs, in their comments sections, where if I see something that just should not be left standing without comment, I do. I put a comment in, and I'm not anonymous. I put my name in when I put these comments in. I want them to know that there are people out there that won't accept the lies, the distortions that are being made about Iran, the lies and the distortions that are being made about Obama, the so-called Muslim, that these types of deceptions must be called out. And I know I've had an impact because I was just recently banned from commenting at WorldNet Daily.
That's a badge of honor, actually, don't you think?
Yes, I'm proud of it, but I either need to create another identity, which I'm not keen on doing that. I like to just be me and up front in the world, create another identity, or as I hope out of this broadcast and other communications I've made, I want to replace myself with other activists that will go to WorldNet Daily, subscribe, and participate in the comments section.
That would be nice, yes.
Our activism is not, I'm not going to save the world, although I'd sure love to do so. It's going to take a bunch of us, one by one by one, and let them know that we are out there and we're everywhere, and we're not going to stand for the kinds of deception that have led us down like lemmings to our doom. The human journey is turning in these times, and those of you who think you can sit back and the cavalry is going to come to the rescue, That cavalry is you. The person that will make the most difference right now is wearing your underwear.
Exactly. It's very interesting. I've been a subscriber for a long time to WorldNet Daily, and some of the things, some of the authors that write for them and some of the things that they produce, well, for instance, all of the stuff that they've said about Obama. Now, I do not like Obama. He is a Marxist. He serves the Zionist cause quite well, but they have promoted the fact that his birth certificate is very suspect, that he was born in Kenya, and I can't remember the name of the guy that wrote the book about it.
Jerome Corsi.
Yes, Corsi, yes. And this guy has written a lot of things. I made the mistake of purchasing something about the North America. I can't even remember. It was just, I bought it, and I it was a video, and I watched it, and I thought, this guy is so far off the mark, I can't even believe it. He doesn't even mention the real culprits, and so I immediately considered him just a gatekeeper, basically, and somebody that is definitely not writing the entire truth in any of his books or whatever else he writes. But you indicated, and I saw this also, a 6-DVD set, and it's about, what was it about? About Israel. And, of course, he promotes Israel and how wonderful it is, and that they were celebrating the success of the Six-Day War. And it says, patriotic Americans are making an effort to awaken sleeping Americans to Israel's attack on the USS Liberty during that Six-Day War. Now, they didn't do that. They didn't even mention it.
No, it's really fascinating that in a large body of publications and DVDs, WorldNet Daily withholds the realities of the USS Liberty being attacked by Israel. And the phrasing of WND, WorldNet Daily, in celebrating the success of Israel in the Six-Day War, well, Israel's chief success was in having the United States government officials cover up their attack, their ruthless attack on the USS Liberty, cover it up, and not only cover it up, but prevent the attack from being stopped. And that's Israel's chief success in the Six-Day War, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
And Israel's success in 9/11 is in not having the many Zionist operatives get caught and outed, but they control the media, and they control the alternative media, and they control largely the majority of so-called truth sites, which I call half-truth sites.
Right. Now, it seems to me that I recall that WorldNet Daily and Joseph Farah and his wife, I think her name is Elizabeth, actually lived somewhere else besides where they live now, and that at some point in time, I'm not sure what the year was, but that they moved their offices to wherever they are now and have taken a different tact on everything that they produce.
Well, they're certainly using a cunning strategy. They've developed a strong following in the anti-Obama population. They've taken very bold stances and put the pedal to the metal in exposing the fraudulent birth certificate. And for those of us that recognize the fraudulent birth certificate, I'm thrilled. I'm very grateful for somebody outing that situation. At the same time, as they're showing us that Obama is essentially an imposter in terms of his citizenship. None of us could get a driver's license with what he presents on the White House website as a birth certificate. We couldn't get a driver's license. He shouldn't be president in that context. But in the context of presenting this birth certificate issue, they'll also insist that Obama is a Muslim. Never mind that Rahm Emanuel was his first appointment as White House Chief of Staff, who served 2 years in the Israeli Army. His current Chief of Staff in the White House is an Orthodox Jew. Obama and his wife celebrate Seder every year during holiday season, and a 35-foot menorah has been erected and lit in a ceremony every year of Obama's presidency. Obama probably has taken good training in the Kol Nidre, the renouncing of all vows, from his Jewish handlers. And many of his cabinet appointments and Supreme Court nominations have strong Zionist or actual Jews. It's a Orwellian situation of WorldNet Daily acting on both sides, trying to foment a racist type of hatred within the United States, pitting groups against one another, and then also working to convince us that Israel is this holy, protected land that can do no harm, even while we see the atrocities being committed by Israel. It's probably a big threat to world war. Even while that's occurring, they put Israel forth as something to be protected and treasured.
It's interesting that you brought out that they are attempting to pit two groups against each other, the Muslims and the Christians, and that is certainly, they are really doing a very good job in portraying him as a Muslim, so that all of these things that he does, Obamacare and just everything, I mean, this guy has made so many, well, he's been very successful in carrying forth the agenda of the elitist, but he is making so many people so angry, and they're not going to be mad just at him as an individual. They're going to be mad at the entire Muslim population, and they're going to say, look at this Muslim, look what he's doing, and next he'll be imposing Sharia law and all of this other stuff, and this is the site that does all of this this nonsense.
I suggest that all of you activists listening to today's talk look towards the people around you that are Christian Zionists, that are committed to supporting Israel. One very interesting conversation to have with them is to show them that in the 2008 election, 82% of the Jewish voters voted for Obama. How is it that the Jews that voted for Obama were bamboozled into supporting a so-called Muslim? It's because he's not a Muslim. He's not. His loyalties are known to be declared to Israel, and that's very easy to point out. You just go to YouTube and type in Obama AIPAC Israel Pledge or Obama Pledge to Israel, and you'll see that Obama's loyalties are probably greater to Israel than they are even to his oath to protect and defend our own constitution. We are being bamboozled. We're being told he's a Muslim, but at the same time, he is a fierce advocate for anything that Israel wants, including advocating just recently for almost unlimited funding for any war needs that Israel might have in terms of creation of new currency and deficits to fund Israel's war efforts.
Getting back to his pledge to protect the Constitution, when he was sworn in, inaugurated as the president, he really made some mistakes in the pledge, and so they had to do it over again. And I found that very interesting.
It's kind of like the bride or groom getting a little mental block during their statements, but I think Obama's had to do with him not being quite the polished liar that he now has become. He just wasn't quite up to the task of misstating his oath so that he could renounce it. And then we go to the Jewish annual tradition of Kol Nidre, K-O-L-N-I-D-R-E, which is renouncing all vows, where Jews realize that their faith allows them to renounce any commitments or agreements, so that I can't expect Obama to keep his campaign promises because he's proven he won't, nor can I expect or see Obama keeping his promise to protect and defend our Constitution. He has been the opposite of that.
He was actually recruited back in 2004 by the bankers, and they have always backed him. And as far as the Constitution, I mean, I think that's been dead and gone for a very long time. Now, isn't his mother Jewish?
I believe so, yes.
And his mother worked for the government when she was in Indonesia, and his grandmother had a high position in a bank in Hawaii. There's a lot of things about Obama that are very suspect. But let's talk about some of the other right wing groups that function as gatekeepers or left wing groups, whichever is whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, I tell you what, my preparations had mostly to do with groups like Alternet, other types of websites that are put forth as being investigative journalist types of websites, and how those have been controlled. And I have a bit of a strong suit in terms of 9/11 truth websites that are actually 9/11 half-truth.
Sure.
Of Israel websites. That's where I've done most of my preparation, although I'm open to talking in other areas. I think I'm in the scheme of my outlines, what I'd like to do is go over some things that I've encountered since I became a 9/11 activist with no holes barred. November 2005, I decided I was going to yell from the rooftops what I'd learned.
Sure.
And at that time, I found out that the editor of 911truth.org, Janice Matthews, was a Kansas City resident, and I was thrilled to know that I could maybe meet Janice Matthews and learn more, get it from the top of the 9/11 Truth movement through the editor of 911truth.org. And I used Janice as a mentor and a confidant for about 4 years, periodically calling her, going to a couple of meetings at her home, and learning a lot about 9/11 through Janice Matthews. But one thing I noticed quite early in my visits there was that the Jewish names didn't seem to be mentioned during the meetings unless I brought them up. It was hard enough to go much beyond Larry Silverstein, but when you started talking about all the other Jewish names that were that had motive, means, opportunity, and could be the prime suspects in 9/11. It seemed that it just was a party downer to the group when I would mention these things, and I got the impression that I was not necessarily among friends that really wanted to get to the bottom of 9/11, that I was among a group that seemed to be designing a containment of the information about Jewish and Israeli involvement in 9/11. And that's right. That was the 9/11 Truth Group in Kansas City until I came along and started having the conversations about the many Israeli connections, the dancing Israelis, the paging service, Odigo, and so forth, many Israeli connections. And I stopped getting invited to meetings if they were still occurring, and so ended up taking on the leadership role in Kansas City of the 9/11 Truth Movement and conducting our meetings in a local theater that gave us free space. Well, a little later in 2009, it's about 4 years after I'd met Janice, I founded the website rediscover911.com. And announcing that website, I sent it out to all the 9/11 grassroots that were affiliated with 911truth.org. And it was not necessarily shocking, but it was very disappointing to find out the numbers of people that were 9/11 activists that couldn't handle the existence of rediscover911.com and would attack me verbally in their emails, and also try to discredit me by creating an alternative. They created rediscover911.org to try to counter it and maybe get more hits than our website did. And this was quite disappointing, that the activist group, the 911truth.org activist group, it was heavily populated by people that wanted to keep the conversation of Israel out of mainstream. And since then, I've been developing lists. I've got a pretty good list, and there's several of us throughout the world that have lists of activists that are so-called 9/11 truth activists, but actually represent what we call gatekeepers, preventing the information of Israel getting out. One of the interesting things to look at, and you can't find the webpage unless you go to the Wayback Machine, is to find the original composition of the steering committee for 911truth.org, which was among the very first of the truth websites. That steering committee is composed of quite a number of Jews. Then comes along 9/11 Blogger, where the real activists that know all the details and want to discuss the details and compare their research, 9/11 Blogger was the place to go. And that was endorsed by 911truth.org, as well as a number of other websites that 911truth.org affiliates with. Blogger was the place to go and have discussions. Well, I go there, a number of other people that I'm affiliated with go to Blogger, and it turns out that Blogger has editorial controls that don't allow you to blame Israel. A number of us got our messages removed from the conversations, and then also a number of us were banned. I'm banned from 9/11 Blogger, and two other friends of mine are also banned. These are respectable people with respectable presentations of the evidence of Israeli complicity and involvement, the evidence of Jewish mass media involvement in the cover-up. And we were being banned by what supposedly was the place to have open discussions about 9/11 and figuring out who did 9/11. That carries on into many of you have seen what are called deception dollars. These are pieces of fake money that are to promote the 9/11 truth concepts. There may be 20 or 25 different designs of deception dollar. And in all of the deception dollar information, there's nary a mention of Jews. Or you can't find the word Larry Silverstein on these pieces of money. The websites that are offered as truth websites are in the main affiliated with the websites that contain the conversation about Israeli involvement in 9/11. And it appears that those that planned 9/11 and executed it also had in the background, all ready to go and launch, truth, so-called truth websites that would seem to be opposing the official story of 9/11, but not really get to the meat of things. And I would just urge you to go to Deception Dollar website and look at all the money.
It would be very interesting to check out when those websites acquired their URLs, when they got those things.
Good point, Deanna. Another thing is, I think the cover-up is so obvious that it forms what could be called a racketeering process. Every half-truther that prevents us is notably preventing us from having open investigation into who did 9/11 and who are complicit in the cover-up. Every one of those people are at risk of being charged with racketeering under the RICO statute as complicit in the cover-up of the crime. I'd love to also see subpoenas of their email corps.
You're kind of cutting out every once in a while.
No. I'm sorry?
You're kind of cutting out every once in a while. Your audio just kind of cuts out.
Got it. I was moving around. I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, stay still.
I'd also like to see subpoenas of these website the
owners.
People, owners, yes, the owners and the editors of these websites. I'd like to see subpoenas of their correspondence with one another. The internet provides a vehicle for wide dissemination of information, but the internet also provides a vehicle for great coordination of conspiracies, great coordination of the types of conversations that are permitted and the types of manipulations of public opinion control that they want to produce. The political control plus the economic control that is on Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, the international monetary groups, the political and the economic control equate to a total domination that we're now experiencing in the world and a quite a growing police state justified by 9/11 and fostered by the Israeli expertise in training police in how to deal with the terrorists.
Sure. Well, you know, Bob Kerry, Senator Bob Kerry, said when he was approached in a public area, that 9/11 was actually a 30-year conspiracy.
I remember watching him say that, and there must be a tremendous body of information showing the numbers of people that have been involved in it and the subsequent cover-up.
Right. And I think it's very compartmentalized. I think any time that you have any kind of an event like this, they don't give any one person any more than that person needs to know. They just have their little task and they do their task without even recognizing that they are a part of a bigger event or a bigger picture. And it's just very interesting how they carry this thing off.
You know, I think some of the people may be unwitting as to what the role is, but I suspect that most, the Jewish participants especially, have a tribal loyalty and a tribal pride in what they're accomplishing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I definitely agree with you there. But there were other people involved who are not Jewish. There are people who have written books that say, oh, we've gone into the Middle East because of the oil. And I'm thinking particularly of Webster Tarpley, who wrote Synthetic Terror, and he doesn't even mention the J word. How can you write a book about 9/11 and not bring that up, but blame it all on the Bush family?
I have grave suspicions about Webster Tarpley. If he's not Jewish, he certainly looks like one.
Well, he certainly acts like one.
Yeah, he definitely acts like one. And he's brilliant. He's a very cunning weaver of narrative. I've not felt good about Webster from the first time I set eyes on him and listened to his sophistry.
Mm-hmm. Right. I met him out in California in March of 2007. I attended a meeting out there. And I thought, my goodness, what an arrogant man.
Oh, it was fascinating also to see Tarpley interviewed at the Bilderberg meeting by Alex Jones. Not that I have any trust in Alex Jones. He brings an element of truth to us, but Alex Jones is also an agent of cover-up for the Israelis, the Zionists, the radical Jews. Many connections to the Jews, and has indicated his own willingness to, you might say, take a bullet to protect the Jews.
Right. And he didn't even mention on June 8th anything about the USS Liberty.
Yeah, the patriot Alex Jones forgets the USS Liberty on the anniversary. And so Tarpley's interview where Alex Jones was interviewing Tarpley, that's worth watching because it's two deceivers getting in an argument with each other, unrehearsed. So Alex is aghast that Tarpley would take certain positions, and Tarpley truculently responds. And it's fascinating that the Bilderberg meeting interview between Alex Jones and Tarpley, that's a gem to watch.
Now, is that like a wrestling match where they probably, go through all these motions and then they go out and have a drink afterwards?
Well, no doubt they're friends because they're both on the side of cover up for Israel. But they got themselves into a liar's dilemma. You can only lie so far, and then all of a sudden the lies become evident, and you're stuck with, oops, this is out there. And when they got into this liar's dilemma, it was interesting how they tried to work it through and which one wanted to win in their liar's dilemma.
Well, a liar has to have a very good memory. Otherwise, they're going to get caught.
I think Tarpley probably had the better memory.
I'll have to watch that. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, who are some of the, yesterday, and I have this little post-it note, and it says, do not say or you know. I guess I didn't read that. But... And it's right here in front of me. But back in, what was I going to say now? Oh, my gosh. I lost it. Well, go ahead.
I'll review some of my notes here. Let's go to We Are Change, for example.
Oh, yes.
We Are Change. Sounds really good. We've got this very courageous young man named Luke Radowski, happens to be Jewish, by the way, creates We Are Change, and We Are Change New York, We Are Change LA. Many chapters develop in We Are Change. And what's interesting is that the We Are Change leadership have largely quelled any kinds of discussion of Israeli involvement in 9/11. Luke Radowski especially. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar with the finances of his organization and has fallen in disfavor. But Luke was an Israeli loyalist in bringing the quote-unquote half-truths of 9/11. Luke was an expert. He would stand right up there to the congressman and do hijacking types of interviews. He looked very, very brave and was a seeming role model for many, except that Luke was a half-truther. I hope he's largely gone.
What about Loose Change?
Well, Loose Change has a similar situation. They did an excellent job of awakening many people to the lies of 9/11, but they don't get down to the meat of the cooperative conspiracy between U.S. government officials and, for example, the Mossad. They seem to leave out the names of Silverstein, Jerome Hauer, Zelikow, the names that would point to a very strong participation in numbers of Jewish people at the very top of investigations and the original planning, and then the subsequent cover-up by the mass media, which is dominated by Jews, and also the Hollywood, which is dominated by Jews, the Hollywood continuation through the various documentaries and feature movies like Flight 93, a feature movie, Arts and Entertainment Channel feature movies that tend to parrot the official story, but are made by owners and editors and directors that are in a notable degree Jewish involvement in reframing the narrative 9/11 to be consistent with the official lies.
Right.
That in itself, just the mass media participation in the cover-up, and even mass media on that day, the BBC announcement of the collapse of Building 7 was a complete giveaway of mass media's involvement in 9/11. The mass media participation itself is so telling that there's some group that's benefiting. And I tell you what, I don't know any Muslims that are in control of mass media that could have directed BBC to announce the collapse of World Trade Center 7, or could have caused Arts and Entertainment Channel to develop the feature movie Flight 93. It's not a Muslim conspiracy.
No, certainly not. In October of 1998, the Catastrophic Terrorism Study Group completed a 9-month-long study of the technologies and defenses against terrorists. The study group was a collaboration of the faculty of Harvard, MIT, Stanford, and the University of Virginia, and it was funded by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and the MacArthur Foundation and the Winokur Public Policy Fund at Harvard University. And they created a report. It was called Catastrophic Terrorism, Elements of a National Policy. And the person that was in charge of this particular project was Philip D. Zelikow, who later, of course, was a gatekeeper executive director of the 9/11 Commission. Now, can you imagine that the person who is the project director of a paper or a study that determined how the country would act if faced with terrorism, then all of a sudden becomes the gatekeeper of the commission that is supposed to find out the truth about it.
And Philip Zelikow, as is reported, wrote a paper on the creation and preservation of public myth. He should have been kicked off of the 9/11 Commission for his close crony relationship, a working relationship with Condoleezza Rice.
Right.
Like Henry Kissinger, originally thought to be the head of the 9/11 Commission, was definitely a prejudiced person to put on an investigative body like that. And Kissinger's obvious connections to Israeli policies been a dead giveaway to Israeli involvement in 9/11 being covered up.
Right. Yes, Zelikow co-authored a book with Condoleezza Rice, and they were both members of Bush 41's National Security Council.
Years ago, I took great pride in being an annual donor, no small amounts, not going to take away my lifestyle, but I would donate to National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting Network. I was so proud of that because I thought Public Broadcasting Network was one of the saviors of our free society, because obviously the corporate media weren't doing their job. And this is something I knew before I became a 9/11 activist, or I thought I knew. But 9/11 brought about a total change. I urge everyone to stop donating broadcasting, to stop trusting National Public Radio. Those are totally dominated, so-called alternative media sources, but totally dominated by the Israeli Zionist viewpoints. And look at the staff of those groups, especially National Public Radio, the reporters, the personalities there. We get a Judified perspective on life through National Public Radio. great disappointment to me also was Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Amy Goodman is seen fleeing the collapse of Building 7 in one video on YouTube. She was right there in the streets as Building 7 came down and the billowing building debris moves down the street. But Amy Goodman can't bring herself to study the or to talk about the controlled demolition aspects of those buildings. Her offices were just blocks away from Ground Zero, and Amy Goodman has become another of the gatekeepers of truth, parroting the official stories of 9/11 Muslim involvement and forwarding these lies that have led to the death of millions and the destruction of the American dream as far as spending us into oblivion on wars, the war against terrorism, so-called terrorism. Amy Goodman has made her place in history as more of a, what's that Japanese woman, Tokyo Rose. Amy Goodman's legacy is more that of Tokyo Rose than it is of a upstanding ethical journalist.
Interesting. Now, she did interview an Israeli ex-diplomat about the word or the use of the term anti-Semitism that the Jews always use in order to attack somebody who is saying anything critical of them. And it was just a very short little video that she did, or a portion of one of her programs. And, well, you know,
it threw us a crumb.
Yes.
It's certainly true that the accusation anti-Semite has been used to stop people from talking. I've been called an anti-Semite so much that it really has no effect on me at this point, because number one, it's not true. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm certainly anti-crime, and I'm anti-psychotic behavior as regards treatment of our fellow human beings on this earth. And if there are those that I oppose, it's the psychotics that have produced 9/11 and that continue to lie about it. And those that can somehow, like Amy Goodman, reconcile this preservation of a humongous lie in the context of somehow forwarding Democracy Now. We can't exist with this type of lying going on and claim to be promoting the cause of human freedom. From this point forward, they're all deserving of a stint in a FEMA camp until they reform. And Amy Goodman would be one of the people I'd put in there until she comes clean and then actually does her job that she claims to do, which is promoting truth and justice in the world.
It is very unfortunate that the place that we will find the most disinformation is basically within the so-called truth movement, the alternative media, because that's where people go to really look for truth. And they know that they can't get it from the regular media. And so they come and to the alternative media, and then they swallow everything. They take in everything because they're vulnerable. And disinformation is a deliberate, subtle, insidious propaganda, and it's frequently integrated with truth, and especially in the so-called truth movement.
To note, Amy Goodman gets her support from the Ford Foundation.
Ah.
And many of these foundations have board of directors that have strong Zionist connections. It's worth looking into the web of involvement of the foundations and then the types of organizations that these foundations support through media, through the websites. There's a particular website called Counterpunch, And on there, a man that's quite critical at times of Israel is Alexander Cockburn. He also is very insulting of the 9/11 truth movement and how that can occur among thinking, intelligent people is it occurs because they are propagandists, not because they are alert and awake to what's going on, because they are very alert and awake. Alexander Cockburn would be akin to the man that we were talking earlier, about Alex Jones interviewing.
Yeah, Tarpley.
Cockburn is of that intelligence, and he knows how to weave the lies in with the truth. And then another one is Justin Raimondo, who was very well known for being critical of Israel and often called an anti-Semite. He's at a site called antiwar.com. Early on, before there was really a 9/11 truth movement, Justin Raimondo wrote a book about the suspicious Israeli activity before and during 9/11. It would seem at that point that he was perhaps one of the very first to do good investigative reporting about Israel's role. But then suddenly and shockingly and very suspiciously, Raimondo turned against the 9/11 movement with some essays about how idiotic it is to think our government could have been involved and that he would not make mention about 9/11 truth except in a mocking tone.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was a promoter of Justin Raimondo's materials because his early materials are very, very good. Then there's the guy Joshua Holland is one of the writers there at Alternet. He's been Alternet being an alternative net website. He's been particularly insulting to the 9/11 truth movement. His blog is named The Truth Vigilante. And he puts himself forth as being about truth, but he's anything but that when it comes to discovering about 9/11.
Right. Well, the CIA has infiltrated the nation's businesses. It's infiltrated the media and universities with tens of thousands of on-call operatives, and that happened by the 1950s. And I think that Bob Woodward said in 1977, that there were at least several hundred people that were working. He said that over 400 U.S. journalists, distinguished reporters, and foreign correspondents were actually employees of the CIA. And he said this in 1977. And it was actually Carl Bernstein that said that.
Yeah, I have no doubt that. And we saw one of President Obama's appointed, Cass Sunstein, looking to officially promote government censorship and government propaganda efforts to quell the 9/11 truth movement. It's obvious that they're caught.
But if the movement is peopled by government agents, they can control what is said in that movement.
The Dr. Judy Wood and her compadre Jim Fetzer.
They're not compadres at all, and I would prefer not to talk about Dr. Wood on this program.
Very good. Okay. Suffice it to say, I see a lot of infiltration also in the truth movement, and with good reason. We should be suspicious of anything we see and hear, and do our own due diligence to see if we're being led to the by what's being promoted.
Sure. And also you need to look at some of the individuals and see what else they have been doing, what other cover-ups they have been involved in.
Absolutely. Some of these people already have a history, and it may go back a long time.
Exactly. Yes, it's very interesting. And you know, Lenin said that they would control both sides so they could control exactly what the results That's not a direct quote, but I think that that's the kind of thing that they do. And in any kind of an event, whether you're talking about the Holocaust or whether you're talking about 9/11, they're going to have enough journalists and enough people writing books. Apparently, the CIA, even before 1990, they paid college professors to write and publish at least 1,200 propagandistic books about the Soviets, about Vietnam, about China, Cuba, and the Congo. I mean, these people have a big, big influence in academia.
Yeah, it's, and the college relationships to Obama and Marxism are fairly strongly noted. It's by the way, have you ever heard of a Muslim Marxist?
No. I can't say that I have.
For those people that keep saying Obama the Muslim, and ask them when and isn't he also a Marxist? Then ask them, have you ever heard of Muslims advocating for Marxism?
Interesting. Yes. Very interesting. Well, I know that that the CIA, getting back to the CIA and Obama, that they needed people that could blend into the environment in the Middle East. Now, he did go to the Middle East early on before he supposedly went to Colombia. And he had ties to Brzezinski and all kinds of other ties that are very, very questionable. So I did a piece on Barack Obama and his association with the CIA.
There seems to be a background there that might have helped him with his college scholarships. And I'm certain that he's connected to the interests of Marxism, and the interests of Marxism have to do with Jewish communism. It's not a Muslim phenomenon.
Right. In fact, it was the same influence in the Middle East, or basically what was in the Ottoman Empire in the before World War I. That same group of people, the Bolshevik influence, was also, and in fact, some of the very same people were also found trying to influence the government in the Ottoman Empire by a group of people called the Young Turks. So, if you look at history, you can certainly see a lot of repetition.
Yeah, if you can actually get history to come clear, the lessons of history, I've said it many times, are not learnable when the history is put forward to us in a false fashion.
Right. And so you have to look at the publishers of textbooks. You have to look at the publishers now. You know, there I go saying that you know word again. But if the CIA got professors to write 1,200 books, who published those books? I mean, I've had some experience with some publishers, and I think, gosh, how do people ever get any truth out if they don't want you to use certain words, if they don't want you to talk about certain things? And publishers have such control over manuscripts that you're really not in control of your own work.
And the primary ownership of publishing companies is, unfortunately, in the hands of a particular tribe.
Exactly. And it's not the Muslims.
No, the Muslims don't control publishing.
Or Hollywood, and certainly they don't like all the garbage that comes out of Hollywood. And one of the first things that the Americans did when they went into Iraq is that they brought in a lot of trash. They didn't destroy any of the theaters. What they did do is start showing their trash in the local theaters there, and getting the young Muslim men to come in and watch this trash.
And also they allowed a raid on the museums in Iraq.
Yes.
To destroy a 6,000-year history, a repository of the history of the mankind in that region.
Right.
Very sad that with the destruction of that, the context of their heritage, what they were about, how they evolved to where they were. That context is now largely broken and unavailable to the youth, so that history becomes whatever they're told, whatever they see on the media and the tube.
Yes, they did it subtly in this country, but in Iraq, they just went in with bombs and that sort of thing. Isn't that kind of interesting?
Oh, it's fascinating to learn that they had to attack the museum and allow it to be looted. Treasures that have been scattered to the four corners of the earth, but treasures that cumulatively taught the people where they came from.
Yes, what a shame to destroy a person's culture. Mm-hmm. And what a shame. And to destroy people, to destroy a nation.
And based on the 9/11 lies, the truth of 9/11 is the Achilles heel of the real perpetrators and those who seek to impose a totalitarian government upon us all.
Right.
We don't have to fear Sharia law. It wasn't Muslims. It was a cabal, and they are caught. Some people say, well, look at the Bilderbergs, look at the Vatican. There's these Illuminati. They're keeping it too vague. We know names. We know many of the dons, many of the mob bosses that were involved in 9/11 and the subsequent cover-up. They sit in positions of media. They sit in positions of insurance where they paid Larry Silverstein, who knows, $5+ billion. They sit in positions in our Congress, and they know. And they know who they answer to, and it's time to have arrests. At some level in our police and our military, we have people that are true to their oaths. I call upon anyone true to their oaths to organize and arrest. July 4th would be a good date to do this. Arrest all congressmen that have been complicit in the cover-up of 9/11, because they are supporting treason, or they are guilty of misprison of treason, if not cooperating to the real perpetrators and to turn back to righteousness the pathway of human beings on this planet. We have an opportunity. It's a fabulously promising opportunity if only we can crack open this Pandora's box.
Right. Yes. Yeah, but so many people are so aligned with Israel in Congress.
And maybe if they were offered protection, they would come clean, if there is the possibility. And even if they're not offered protection, what is it, the legacy that you would leave to mankind in the coming generations for the next several hundred years? What is it, the legacy that they're leaving, that would give us a totalitarian life worldwide compared to the bad guys right now?
Right.
Grandchildren, that's what drives me.
Yes.
It's my personal safety is important. I need to be around to continue this work. But on the other hand, I pine for those that have lost their lives, not even realize how bamboozled they've been for the last 10 years. And the world is so much worse for the deceptions leading to the millions of horrific killings, the financial fraud, and the mind-twisting propaganda promoting clash of civilizations with the Muslim world. All of this can end if only we decide, and let's say July 4th this year, if only we, will decide to combine and go public and start the process. It'll be years in the courts. Got plenty of room in the FEMA camps. It's time to bring the cavalry up for that rescue. There are a number of us that are hoping for the cavalry, and we can't do it ourselves. another few years, the 30,000 drones produced in Israel will be watching all of us in our organization, in our parades to the city hall.
Right. Interesting. Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, and I really appreciate you joining me today. And we'll have to do this again.
Deanna, you're doing such good work, and Godspeed to you and protection to you for the great work you're doing on behalf of mankind.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you also. Thank you very much. All righty, and again, that website is rediscover911.com, and the email is whole, you do it.
It's whole, W-H-O-L-E, the number 2, T-H. Pronounce it whole tooth.
Yeah, I want to say whole tooth, but but that's not right.
At gmail.com. Just use the number 2 in place of the word, or the number 2 in the place of the word tooth, and add a T-H, 2-T-H, whole tooth.
All righty. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Dion.
Bye-bye.